Same. Yeah. Happy New Year. Wowie. Yeah, this is church, baby. I was about to say I feel kind of serious and somber going into this new year, but now I don't. So thank you. Nothing like the power of music, my friends. It does seem like it's really a relief to let go of 22, doesn't it? Yeah, the year we thought would be a little bit easier than it was, and wasn't exactly that. So today, even though it's officially on the calendar New Year's Day, I still feel like I'm kind of on that cusp between the last year and the next year. And that's not a bad place to be, because we have balance there on that edge, on that cusp between the 2 years. And today, I was realizing that I haven't been in church on New Year's Day. I can't even remember when, where Sunday and January the 1st were the same day. I don't know when that happened. I don't know. Some of y'all know calendar cycles. I don't know, seven years ago or whatever. So to be in church on the day feels kind of extraordinary. It feels like this shell that's cracking open, and we have yet to see what's going to emerge. And one of the important parts of that emergence is making sure that we've got the nest clean. You know what I mean? And so today is about letting go of those things that don't serve us anymore. And I thought about this in the sense of our 12 powers that you see represented on these banners on our walls. So the one we're focusing on today is renunciation, or elimination, or letting go, or burning bowl ceremony. It's not, and burning bowl is not limited to this. It's not limited to the end of the year. We can have a burning bowl. We can have the process of elimination anytime we want, and we should. I know that one of the cautions that I got when I first came into ministerial school, when I first came into really deeply studying Unity teachings, was that elimination is absolutely vital to our process, because without it, we're just affirming, taking all this good stuff in, and if we don't let something out that those affirmative statements are replacing, then we get all stopped up. I'm going to call it spiritual constipation. So we have to let go of things in order to take on new things. But even though the focused power is renunciation, it requires us to incorporate all the other ones, because none of these powers work in a vacuum. We also have to have, for example, life. We have to be invested in the life that lives in us in order to be able to let things go. We have to have will in order to let things go. And hear me, I am not saying willpower. Willpower is a necessary function of ego, but it's not what we're talking about today. The power of will that we have is to allow life to be flowing through us, to allow it. And that's a huge differentiation. And sometimes we don't feel willing. So we can be willing to be willing. You understand? You don't have to want to be willing. You just have to be willing to be willing. You have to be willing to allow. And so today in our renunciation process, we're going to be willing to let things go. And it doesn't matter the technique that we use in the days ahead in our letting go process. It doesn't matter if it's a one and done or if it's something that will take months to let go of. Today's act is the beginning of it all. It's the beginning. And it's a necessary process. I think it's wonderful that human beings have established rituals and ceremonies and rites since the time we were gathering around fires. We've established things to help put a framework around our existence. And so we have ceremonies to mark birth, to mark death, to mark transitions, to mark a woman entering her womanhood, a young man entering his manhood, to mark all those transitions in life, to mark the changing of the seasons, to mark the solstices and the equinoxes. So we've had ceremonies and traditions because it adds a little bit of order to our lives and to our existence. And there is something comforting about rituals and ceremonies because the repetition of them, when done mindfully, adds an extra element of meaningfulness to everything that we do. You know, I sometimes forget that I want to eat mindfully. You know, sometimes it's just get the fuel on board. You know, and that's the way I think of my food. My food is fuel. And but I forget that there is a beauty to thinking about exactly what you're doing while you're preparing that plate, even if it's standing at the counter and smearing peanut butter on a piece of bread. To be fully present to that ritual of preparing your food and then savoring the bites. So every ritual, every ceremony that we have is to bring us more fully into the present and for us to stand with our feet on the earth and our hearts in the heavens. That's why we do that. We haven't done it in a long time because pandemic, but we have had communion in which we had a non-alcoholic representation of the grape. I just made that up, but you know what I'm talking about. And bread, or gluten-free, not because we believe in the old Catholic tradition of transubstantiation, which was made up by the church, but because it's a reminder of a ritual that united people and brought them fully into the present. That meant that even in our everyday activities, like bread and wine were when the tradition was established, having those things, and even in our everyday activities, we touch the divine. So that's what we're about today. And I have to share with you, my whole talk for today changed a little bit earlier this week. One of my old friends passed away earlier this week. And due to some circumstances with family traveling and the week that it occurred, the funeral was yesterday and I officiated at it. And it was one of those moments in which time kind of stands still. I mean, I've done hundreds of funerals and memorial services and graveside services over 30 years. But yesterday, to be with a friend whose life was extraordinary, and to be able to celebrate that and to celebrate it with people that I've known since I arrived in Austin over 30 years ago was just magnificent. His name was Neil. And one of the things I said yesterday is that it's easy to go to a funeral or a memorial service and the person is so exalted in the eulogy that the people who knew them intimately are going, well, that wasn't entirely my experience with so-and-so, but I mean, you know, you've been to those, right? You're going, really? But yesterday in doing his service, it was easy to talk about Neil in those kind of terms because he's one of those people that, man, he just squeezed every drop of juice out of life. For good or for bad, he was fully engaged The day before he died, and this is the most important thing I want you to know. The day before he died, Neil told his daughters, his friends that were there, this is in divine order. He's an old-time Unity guy. And the fact that he said that on the eve of his passing from this life touches me profoundly. Because if there's ever an example of somebody who had an agreement with the divine to leave the planet, it was him. You know, I'm done. I'm done with this body. It's done all it can do, and I'm going to adios out of here. And he did. So there were tears because death. But there was always a lot of laughter and appreciation for his life. And those of you who've been to memorial services that I've done, one of the things that I always remind people is that not only do we believe in some kind of life after this one, you know, the great mystical unknown, but we also extend the life of those we love by remembering how they touched us, by remembering what it was they added to our lives, and then magnifying that so that they walk around in our hearts and they're exemplified through our lives. Therefore, they keep touching people that we touch, and so on and so on. I want to be that. Don't you? Don't you want to be the kind of person that says, yes, I got all the juice out of this that I could get. I have lived well, and I'm ready to go. And may we all have the grace to be able to depart in that way. But more importantly, may we have the grace to live in that way. May we have the grace to say, how can I find the juice in this moment? How can I find that in me which will add to life itself? In order for us to do that, we have to let go of the things that aren't juicy anymore.
Yes. Amen.
You know? Yes. You know, Marie Kondo. Mm-hmm. Don't know whether to kiss her or strangle her. You know, spark joy. Well, she's not wrong, right? Let's get rid of the things that don't spark joy, that don't add juice anymore. And if there's a part of you that says, oh, I'm not ready to let that go yet, the fact that you're thinking about it is your clue. Sorry, Di. If it has jumped into your mind, well, there's a reason why. And so there's that great person that spoke to Jesus in the scripture that said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I'm willing, help thou my unwillingness to let go. Now, am I talking about resolutions today? No, I am not talking about resolutions today. Resolutions are goal lists, and there's nothing wrong with them. But unless we've got the grounding of letting go and taking on in spirit, our goals will be a little wispy, you see? There has to be that underneath everything in order for the things that we move forward with in this tangible, real life that we're living to have meaning and to have meat on the bones. Sorry to any vegetarians I just offended. And speaking of that, boy, my mind. If any of you are Michigan fans in here today, not sorry. Oh my gosh. I made myself hoarse yesterday afternoon. I didn't know if I was going to have a voice when I came in. At one point, I was in the den by myself. The kids weren't in the room. And I screamed so loud that when I talked to him later, I'm like, hi. Man, that was some good football. And we're longtime TCU fans. My parents went to seminary there. My son graduated from there. My nephew went to school there. Many of our dear friends, Chip Slade, who's part of this community, went to TCU. My friend who died unexpectedly this fall, whose service I did here, had a full ride to TCU football scholarship. So I've got lots of roots in TCU, and I grew up in that area. So I was really happy. And at one point, I remember thinking this game was such a back and forth. I mean, it was such a fast back and forth game. Just a little statistic. In a 7-minute game time, 51 points were scored by both teams together.
Wow.
Yeah, boy. For those of you who are watching us that are not from Texas, again, not sorry, because we do get a little focused on it sometimes. At one point I thought, how do either of these teams have the adrenaline, will, strength to keep on playing right now? Because it was like this. And I watched those young men out there doing what they do. And I know that same thing that's in them. You know, take away the competitiveness, take away the hormonalness, take away all that. Underneath there is a real, true desire to do something significant with their bodies. Have you ever thought about that with football or any other sport? Wanting to do something significant, to push themselves to a limit. And we don't have to do that with our physical bodies. I can tell you right now, I'm not going to do that. But we do have that in us, which is fierce and strong, that not only lets go, but takes on. Not only lets go of the things that are now dry, not juicy, not helpful, not contributory, and we enrich and take on those things that are exactly the opposite. So we're going to have, in a few moments, we'll have our meditation, and we will do our ritual, and then I'll instruct you of how we're going to burn those things. But there was something read yesterday at Neil's service, and I found out that this, I love this. This was hanging on the wall in his bathroom so that when you were busy there, you had a chance to read this. I thought, that's where I'm going to post it. I'm going to put it up. I'm going to print it out and put it in my bathroom so that I can have my eyes upon it every day. Now, these will be familiar words to you. This is from the great writer Max Ehrman. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe and no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul, with all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams. It is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy. And that, from 105 years ago, is the Desiderata. So now you know my friend Neil. I can tell you that the almost 30 years that he spent in sobriety made up in multitudes the years prior to it. He was generous and kind and cheerful and connected. And many other qualities that I can't even mention. And you too have qualities that other people look at in you and say, I want to be like that. I want what they have. So now, beloved, in a time of quiet, I would ask you to not only acknowledge what is good and perfect about you, but also to look at the things that are less than the qualities you would like to have in your life. The things that hold you back, the things that wake you up in the middle of the night, the things that you say without thinking sometimes, oh, I've always been that way, even when it is to your detriment. Those things. Today, let's put an end, shall we? So under your chair, let's bring the lights down just a little bit, but I want people to be able to see what they're writing. Under your chair is a paper and a pen. And Curtis is going to play some soothing music for us. And I've got my paper and pen over here. And before you start writing, believe me, if you've got something in your mind, you're not going to forget. Before you start writing, will you just take a moment to breathe and ask yourself, what is it? And then speak quietly to Spirit. Reveal that which needs to be revealed. Heal that which needs to be healed. May the power of renunciation in me guide me now as I release and let go of everything that no longer serves me. As I release and let go of a way of being, a way of doing, way of clinging that no longer works. Let yourself be surprised. Let yourself feel the deep exhale of surrender. Take a few moments. So you have a few more moments until the end of our service to hold on to what you're holding on to and before we let it go. If you feel the need to add something before we end the service today, feel free to do so. And I will advise you that you really only need to fold a piece of paper once. The more times you fold it, the longer it takes for it to burn. So just fold it one time. Nobody's going to see it. Thank you for being willing, my friends. Thank you. You understand that as you do this, this is not only a gift to yourself, but it's a gift to the world. What we do for one, we do for all. And now, with our grateful hearts, take a deep breath, will you? Just take a deep breath as we prepare for our time of giving.